the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
But it's a great place to live, so yeah.
Well, what's different from the Midwest and down south?
The people are different. They're not as, they're not as openly friendly, but once you get to know them, they're very, very nice people. It's a much more urban area than we were used to, so we love the diversity of the area, lots of fun things to do and see, and it's just been a great place to live for us.
Now, where did you move from originally?
We moved from South Carolina.
Oh, so you was down in the Carolinas, so you know how to make some good sweet tea and some barbecue and...
Absolutely. Oh, all the good stuff.
Well, I'm so glad that you are here on the Edge with me and my Brains today. Because Brains, you know what? Cheryl is going to talk to us about life, nursing, and domestication. That's not a dirty word, okay? I love being a housewife. I love cooking in the kitchen, you know, making my house pretty, having fresh flowers, having guests over to entertain. It's a lost art. And men and women should know how to do that. Now, Cheryl and her family moved from South Carolina to St. Louis, Missouri. And we're going to talk a little bit about the transition. So help me welcome her to the Edge, our guest today, Cheryl Portfield. Hi.
Hi, how are you, April? Hi, Brains. Nice to be here with all of you today.
Oh, you know, I found her on Facebook. And she is such a jewel. She does these wonderful Facebook Lives just about simple living. She had this one, I'm going to run it again, with one of her neighbors, gave her this giant zucchini squash. And I don't even know how to make zucchini but one way, and that's steam it. So she's going to come back with some recipes for the zucchini, but she's also going to share some recipes and some things about life and growth and transition and pivoting. Okay, because she was a former nurse for 25 years, weren't you?
I was, and loved it.
And I want to thank you for your service, because to me, nurses are better than doctors. You are there to comfort the family, the patient, to turn them, to take the verbal abuse from them, to take the orders from the doctor, administer the medicine, you know, check their pulse, resuscitate them if need be. Nurses rule. Nurses are number one in my book.
That's good to know. I tell you, it's a calling, but if that's what you're called to do, it's something you love and is so rewarding.
Let me ask you a little bit about that, though. What would you say to the nurses and, you know, mother nurses that are out there now that are struggling with this time of COVID, because, you know, they're seeing things that they have never seen before in their life? What would you say to them to encourage them?
You know, first of all, I want to thank all of them as well. I work as a nurse today, but I work from home, and it's a little bit different capacity. But you ladies and gentlemen that are on the front line, God bless each one of you. That is such a calling and such a gift. And don't take it for granted. There are so many days that are tough, days that are out of your control, days that you just don't know what you're going to be facing. But you're going to make a difference every day. And I told someone this morning, smile, even though you have your mask on, your eyes can smile and people will know that you're smiling. But just know that people appreciate everything you do. I know I have not been dealing with COVID directly, but early in my career, it was the HIV/AIDS crisis that we dealt with. And I worked on a unit that had a lot of these patients that were very, very sick. Nobody wanted to take care of these patients because they had a virus or they had something that you had to gown up and glove up and wear all your PPE, just like with COVID. But I always felt safe with these patients because I knew I was protected by what I had on. And more than that, I knew they needed someone to care. So you guys remember that when you're dealing with your patients that have COVID, they just want someone to care. And today, their families aren't there with them. So you guys can be such a blessing and be the family and the support that they need. So thank you for your service each and every day.
Really. And again, you know, you've got to be away from your family. And there's going to be some trauma and there's going to be some PTSD, you know, but work through it. Take breaks as often as you can. Stay in prayer. And know that you have a lot of people out here that are supporting you and care about you. So you're in a different capacity now. You are coaching.
I am.
Why are you coaching?
Well, you know, it's real similar to being a nurse. You get to spend time with people. You get to talk to people. Just being able to really find out what makes people tick and what I can do as a person to help them become better just makes a huge difference. I kind of fell into coaching. I know April mentioned earlier that I had been a nurse for 25 years. Well, I had gone out to dinner with my family and it was Saturday night. We sat down to eat. Well, this huge lantern fell off of a very high shelf and hit me on the head, knocked me out briefly. We went to the ER and they said, everything's okay. It's just a concussion. Just a concussion. Well, yeah,
just a concussion.
You know, over 7 years later, I'm still dealing with a lot of the side effects from that. And I lost a job I loved and I just had a rough time for a number of years, where I couldn't get out of bed and do the things that I wanted to do. My daughter was probably 8 at the time. She had to help me to the bathroom. Talk about humility. That will teach you humility when your child has to help you to the bathroom. And
no, do you're, the things even though you're a nurse. Right. But even though you're a nurse and you help people, you know, had to clean up incognizance and everything, I know it can be humbling.
But you know what? I learned after a few years when I finally could start sitting up and doing some things, my occupational therapist asked me, you know, what I wanted to do. And I said, I want to be a nurse again. And she's like, well, let's back up a minute. Probably that's not going to happen, but let's talk about what else you can do. She encouraged me to start getting involved on social media because I didn't have a lot of friends at that time that I could socialize with because I couldn't go out and hang out and do the fun things, go out to dinner because the noise caused a lot of issues that I deal with chronic headaches still today. And, but when I would go out anywhere, it would trigger a migraine and then I'd be back in bed for days. So I started looking at things differently. I was very angry and I was never an angry person. I was depressed. It was just the hardest thing I'd ever been through, much harder than going through a divorce and other things that I had dealt with. This thing rocked my world. And it took finally starting to get better. And my therapy team pushing me to start learning to use the computer again, talking again. Oh my goodness, I spoke in front of very large groups at medical conventions. That was easy for me, something I love to do. And I would start talking and I couldn't get my words out. I would stand there and stutter and try to think of what I wanted to say and then get frustrated and say, my therapist said, start talking, do Facebook Lives. I'm like, I can't do a Facebook Live. She said, well, what do you like to do? I said, I love to cook. She said, well, get on camera and cook. I said, I can't cook anymore. I said, I can only do simple things. If I start multitasking, I burn something. She said, well, what happens when you burn something? I said, I cry. I found pushing myself, pushing past my limits, really starting to learn these skills that I took for granted, just has made all the difference. I still don't cook the real fancy things that I cooked before, but I can cook things and provide for my family. And I've learned to be able to share these recipes with other people, help people be more healthy, learn to cook at home. We're all cooking at home now, right? One way or the other.
We eat at home because, you know, speaking of eating out, do you know know that on the receipts, I don't know if they do that in St. Louis, but they're doing it here in California, that there is a covert tax on your bill.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, and I will say for all the people, all the brains out there, if you do go to a restaurant, if you're lucky enough to be able to do that, and a lot of places still can't,
right?
We can do takeout, and that's a good thing. Restaurants, I think, just went up to 50% capacity here. Wow. But that 50% is outdoors. And, you know, today it was 32 degrees, 34 degrees this morning. So people aren't going outdoors to eat. But add that gratuity, you know, even if you're doing takeout, give that 20% on top of the COVID tax to help all these people that are struggling with.
They're struggling.
Trying to keep afloat.
But, you know, I noticed that the food does not taste the same. There's some restaurants that you need to eat right there. You need to eat right there on the premises. It's not, you know, and eating at home and cooking is a lost art. So you have been gracious enough to share with my brains some suggestions for the upcoming holiday season, not just for, you know, we've got Thanksgiving, we've got Hanukkah, we've got Christmas, we're going to have the New Year's. I mean, you know, and you're not going to be able to have the big full-on spread like you've probably had in the past, maybe because of travel. People aren't able to travel, but you can do virtual parties where you can bake cookies virtually with one another. You can exchange recipes. You can exchange cookies. But tell us a little bit about what you provided for the Brains.
Absolutely. Brains, did you guys know that this week starts the sugar holidays? October with Halloween kicks off the sugar holidays, and that goes all the way through the new year. What I mean by the sugar holidays is that's when we are overloaded. Now, this week, maybe by candy, but from here on out, it's going to be the sweets, the desserts, the yummy, high calorie, delicious foods that people like to eat that get you in trouble. People are already dealing with the COVID-15, right? So we can't afford to put on more weight. But during from the Thanksgiving time all the way through the end of the year, we'll eat more than we normally do. Did you know that the average Thanksgiving meal is over 3,000 calories? And that's without the drinks or the desserts. So if you add that on top, many people are eating over 4,500 calories in one meal on Thanksgiving Day. So what I have done, I love to lighten things up. And that's something that I've learned. And I got started into coaching with people trying to lose weight and then kind of carried it on from there to other things, to women trying to build their businesses, but also trying to teach people to live a healthier lifestyle while they're in that busy period of life. So what I have for you Brains today, I hope you'll take advantage. We'll have the link that you can click on it, but I've got a Thanksgiving recipe book for you guys. It's a PDF that you can download, 25 recipes that are, you know, lighter takes on some of your favorite things like you like, for instance, green bean casserole. Green bean casserole is so yummy, but if you eat a traditional green bean casserole, it is, you know, hundreds and hundreds of calories per serving. The other thing, in the South, we love our pecan pie, right? Pumpkin pies are good too, but we love pecan pies. So in here, I've got a recipe for making little mini pumpkin or mini pecan pies. So you're not tempted with that big piece that is a lot of calories. You can have one little pecan pie that'll, you know, hit your sweet tooth and you're not adding in all the calories. So kind of lightening up some of your traditional recipes, but also giving you some other good healthy alternatives as well. Everything from your appetizers all the way through your entrees, your side dishes to your desserts. So I hope you'll take advantage and use this as an opportunity to look for ways to lighten up your meal so you're not having that 3,000 to 4,500 calorie dinner on Thanksgiving.
And you know what else, Brains? We've all been stress eating. Okay. You can see it all in my face. Okay. You're walking past the refrigerator because you can't walk outside or go swim or go to the gym. So take this into consideration because this is an opportune time to look at our diet. We're looking at everything else. We're looking at our finances. We're looking at our friends. We're looking at our, you know, our emotions. So let's start looking at our plate. So you also do things in the garden. Tell me about it.
I love flower gardening. My husband,
I cut these. I said, you know what? Cheryl's coming. I said, let me go cut some flowers. I love
bird of paradise. Oh, that's beautiful. But yeah, I love perennials. That's what I have enjoyed. And we fight a losing battle here in Missouri with the deer. Any of you that become my friend on Facebook, you'll see all these gorgeous deer in my backyard that walk right up on the patio, but they eat everything. So we are constantly on a mission to have flowers blooming in the yard and keeping the deer away. My husband is a vegetable gardener, so he will, you know, plant the starts from seeds, usually depending on what he's growing, usually in January or February, and starts, you know, getting the plants, and then he grows those, and then I cook the vegetables. But yeah, I love that. You know, gardening is a great pastime. Also a lost art, but oh my goodness, that is my stress relief. I would go out and work in the yard anytime I was stressed. Now I have to do things differently because I can't bend over like I did before and pull weeds and everything, because as soon as I tilt my head down a little bit, vertigo kicks in and I'm in trouble. So I've learned to modify things, you know, sit down on the ground or do things at a chair level. There's a lot of things, even if you can't physically get out in the garden and bend over, there's a lot you can do. So if that's something you haven't tried, gardening is a great pastime, great for stress relief.
What's so beautiful too is that you get to see the fruit of your labor.
Absolutely.
I have a little friend that lives down the street that had never worked in a garden before. And he goes, well, Miss April, if the COVID kills everybody, he says, at least we'll be able to have a salad.
There you go.
I mean, he's never done that. So, you know, parents, this is a great opportunity to teach your children how to cultivate the soil, how to, you know, catch some bugs and some worms and identify what they are on the internet. That's a great project for outside, a great science project for them. They get to pick their fruit. They get to see their flowers bloom. All of these things are great. I see that you have a daughter. She looks like she's a teenager.
She's 16. She's a junior.
Okay. And so what do you tell her about the art of domestication? Okay, because it still is. You know, women say, well, that's a woman's place. That's a woman's job. Well, not in my house. My husband will wash the clothes and he'll cook a mean deal and I'll go out there and fire up the lawnmower. There's no particular gender that has a particular role. But what do you tell her about, you know, domestication and, you know, keeping the house clean and your responsibility to make your bed? What kind of conversations do you have with her?
Well, we are all citizens or members of our household. Everybody does. And like you said, your husband, my husband's great to cook. He likes to cook. He'll cook some. He does different things. But that's one thing we've tried to teach my daughter. Since she was 13, she started doing her own laundry. And, you know, we've had the conversation that if you don't get your school uniform washed, you're the one that's going to be going to the school and explaining to the principal why you're out of uniform today. So she learned to do that starting at 13. And that was a great life skill. That's something. I mean, I went away to college. I turned everything. I had pink one the first weekend at college because I didn't realize you had to separate the colors and something red got in, and I had lots of pink clothes. So anyway, learning that kind of thing. Now, my daughter loves to cook, and she has enjoyed being home a lot more with COVID and being able to cook. So, Brains, get your kids helping you out. She helped me pick out recipes for this. Oh. She is the Pinterest queen. She's constantly sending recipes. Mom, can we make this? And she'll make them, or we'll make them together. Y'all, that's a great bonding time with your family, with your teenagers. Or your younger children. She started younger and learned to cook out of necessity when I was not able to do so. But this is something she loves. And, you know, frequently on the weekend, she'll have made breakfast for us or whatever, you know, lots of different things. So that's something we try to do. The same with cleaning. You know, cleaning's not her favorite thing, but it's something you've got to learn, because if you don't clean and you can't afford to have somebody clean for you, you're going to be in a hard situation. So, even boys, you know, get your all your kids involved and start at a young age, because like I said, these are life lessons that they will appreciate down the road. They may not appreciate it when they're scrubbing the toilet, but that's okay. They'll appreciate it down the road.
So. You know, I can't sew, and my daughter is a costume designer, and my husband taught her how to sew with a sewing machine. Girl, he can reupholster fabric. He can make drapes. His mother taught him how to sew. So it doesn't matter what your, you know, what your gender is.
That's right.
Do it. And you have to understand, parents, that you handicap your children when you don't teach them survival skills, life skills, like when they go away to college. Don't you want them to eat more than top ramen? Don't you want them to have the discipline? Because there's a discipline to making your bed. I make my bed every day. That is the place that you rest. That is the place that you heal. That is the place that you make love. That is the place that you watch TV and eat bonbons. But it's a very spiritual place. So honor that place. Teach your children that you get up, you make your bed, and then you start your day. Some of these young people, and old people too, they don't even want to take a shower. That's where the depression, well, you know, the depression has kicked in because of COVID, and they're working from home, you know, and they don't feel, it does so much for your psyche. Get up, take a shower, make your bed, make yourself a nice breakfast, have a cup of coffee, and start your day. Would you agree, Nurse Shirley?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? Life can be simpler right now. We've got to wear masks everywhere we go. So, you know, and your mask, your makeup gets on your mask, but at least make sure your eyes look good from your nose on up. You can look great when you're going out. And, you know, it's kind of funny. If I've got appointments, I've got on eye makeup. Other days, I put all my makeup on just because it makes me feel more normal. It makes me feel like I'm ready for the day.
Right. You're ready for the world. Well, that's your right. Jewelry, okay, because I'm enamored by that necklace. It is wearing me out. It is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, you go and when you film your Facebook Lives, you're going through different parts of your house. You're out on your beautiful sun porch. You said that your husband just bought you a heater so that you can enjoy it in the wintertime. That's beautiful. What does being outside and nature do for your soul? How does that make you feel?
Oh, you know, I was a runner growing up. I ran track and have always ran until I got where my knees just can't run anymore. But being outside has always made a difference for me, even if it's just taking a walk. Boy, it makes such a difference. Working in the yard is great, but sometimes you just need to clear your head. And I know when COVID all started in the spring, we were blessed that the weather had warmed up right at that time. I feel like that's a gift. And we logged many, many miles just getting out of the house and taking a break from Zoom calls and everything else, being able to get outside and walk and just enjoy. And it doesn't matter what you do, whether you run or you know, anything, just sitting out in the sunshine. Vitamin D is good for your skin, but it's good for your soul too. So it makes a huge difference in my outlook just to get outside every day and do something.
Well, you are a nurse, you are a nurturer, you are a homemaker, you are now a virtual video caster. What is a recipe or some ingredients for success for mothers that are out there that are struggling, that were making that six figures, and now they are home domesticating and being a school teacher? Something that they didn't sign up for. They're depressed. They're not wanting to get dressed. They're not wanting to, you know, be with their partner. They're barely paying any attention to their kids. They're annoyed. What would you say to that person right now, Nurse Cheryl?
I would say that I think what helps me more than anything else is to start my day each and every day with a morning routine. And it can be different for everybody, but just having a time where you can, you know, get a cup of coffee and just start your day in quiet, whether it's doing some meditation, doing some prayer, positive affirmations, taking time to just spend, well, you know, if you've got an hour, that's great, But even if you have 10 minutes, just spending that time, getting your mindset right, getting yourself in a good place. Because if we're not in a good place, I don't feel like we can really be a positive outreach to anybody else. We've got to be in a good place ourselves. That was something that took me a while to get back to, from always being positive to being at the very bottom, and then to having, you know, get back where you can be positive. But that morning routine just helps me so much. Like I said, the positive affirmations, the meditation, anything you do, reading, you know, reading good things. If you need a book, Hal Elrod's book, The Miracle Morning, has been life-changing. We recently did a book club with that book. And just, it just talks about getting your day started in the right, with the right focus. And that means a whole lot. And then from there, you can exercise and do whatever else you want to do. But I found that that helps me more than anything, to get the day started right, just to take that little bit of time for myself, taking the time out and getting my head in the right space. And then I can help serve everybody else and be the positive person for my family. Because, you know, brains, that days don't go as you plan a lot of days. And being at home, oh my goodness, when you're trying to homeschool and, yeah, you didn't sign up to be the teacher and here you are and people are out of work and you're not able to do the normal things. Even if you're working from home on Zoom, it's not the same and it could be very frustrating. So starting out your day with that little short amount of time, even if that's all you have, to get your mindset right, that goes a long way and can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm, I agree. And something that I do is I set my day up the night before. Okay. Just like people lay out their clothes, I lay out my mind. I tell myself tomorrow's going to be a great day. I set my intention before I go to sleep so that I'm processing that. And then when I wake up in the morning, when my eyes open up, the first thing I say is thank you. Because I'm grateful, because there's a lot of folks that didn't wake up. There's a lot of folks that are not able to recover. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have families. Okay. But we have each other here on the edge. And that's what we do. We bring you the brightest, the best. We bring you variety so that you can serve it up and dish it out. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Cheryl. And also, I'm going to put all your links and all your information, because we're going to rotate this over and over again. And I told you guys, I'm going to play that that video of her with that zucchini. You're going to crack up. That thing was a little person. Literally. Wow.
Yeah. So join me on Redesign Moms. That's my Facebook group. I'd love to be friends with you on Facebook. If you want a positive start to your day every day, I try to post something positive. And one thing I forgot, my whole morning routine, my whole life revolves around gratitude and being thankful and just being grateful each and every day, no matter what. So I do need to throw that in, because I missed that on the morning routine. But yeah, join me and we will post the link for this recipe guide. I hope it's helpful. I'd love to get feedback. And brains, y'all just have a great day. Thank you so much for letting me be here and share.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're here, because it was light and easy. And that's what we want to do. We want to lighten the load for you, brains. You got enough stress. We want to give you outs, okay? We want to give you some joy. We want your flowers to bloom right here on the edge. Go back, listen to other edgy conversations. We've got over 800 of them. Oh, yes. Okay, I've been doing this a long time. I need you to subscribe to the YouTube channel, to LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, all of the great outlets. We're there for you. Okay, thank you so much, Cheryl. Come back and visit. Maybe we can get together, me and you, before the holidays and cook some simple cookies.
That sounds awesome. Thank you so much, April.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Bye, brains.